Hello and welcome. It is Surrogacy Week and we are here with another podcast. Today, my guests are Charlotte, Kat and Hazel, who are all mums through surrogacy. Before they became parents, the term was intended mothers. Obviously, now they have children born through surrogacy. They are now just mums. So I'll go around the room and let them introduce themselves. Charlotte, can we start with you, please?
Hi, yes. My name is Charlotte. I have a 1-year-old son through surrogacy. His birthday is actually today, so we're trying to understand the whole year's gone past. It's crazy.
So he's actually one today.
Yes.
Oh, well, happy birthday to your son.
Thank you.
Kat, would you like to go next?
Sure. So I'm a mum through surrogacy. I carried my first child, who's 12, and then had a surrogacy journey after that because I couldn't carry again, and our little one is 6 years old now, and that's been a large part of the community since joining.
So I'm Hazel. I am Jade's mum and she is nearly seven on Monday, so again, birthdays are nearby. And Jade was now is our daughter through surrogacy, and I also support the organisation as a trustee and on the operations side of things as well.
Thank you, ladies. So I think we'll probably start this one with Charlotte first. So as a mother that did not give birth to your own child, did you have any concerns regarding bonding with your child or with your child bonding with you?
It definitely came across my mind very early, just as we were starting to investigate surrogacy and understand what it was all about. But after speaking to friends, family, lots of people in SUK, I realised that, at least from my perspective, it's all about, you know, once you have that little baby in your arms, it, you know, you just continue as a parent, you know, it's, you just raise them and love them and spend time with them, and it all comes naturally.
Thanks, Charlotte. Hazel, what about yourself? Did you have any sort of bonding concerns around your child born through surrogacy?
No, not really. I think, and where I'm probably quite logical, I'd seen families come together in all different shapes and sizes, whether born through surrogacy or families come together or adoption and things like that. So I just felt this was another way of creating a family and the relationship that you get to know your child when their child is born. And that's no different in some ways to every child that is born. And we did our best to be part of the surrogacy appointments and to be there as much as we can, but essentially we were in it together. As soon as she came out, the love is there. And you're very much there's no question around bonding with your child because your child is there and you've been part of that process, as it were.
And what about for you, Kat? Obviously having birthed your 12-year-old yourself, did you notice a difference, or were there any kind of mindset differences for you having your second child via surrogacy?
I think I probably had a bit more confidence going into surrogacy because I think any fears that I might have had about bonding were comparable to what I felt when I birthed the child as well. You know, would I love the child that I gave birth to? And you have those fears anyway, becoming a parent. So I think, but if it was there on some kind of subconscious level, then like Charlotte said, then being a part of the community for a while before we became parents through surrogacy, you know, just seeing completed families and the love that was there, you know, it just didn't bother me too much. So I feel lucky from that perspective that the community gave us that confidence.
There's been some proposed legal changes that suggest that openness with children born through surrogacy is very important. Kat, for you again, having a child that you birthed yourself and a child that was born through surrogacy, how do you feel about those changes?
Yeah, I think it's our approach anyway, and it's really, really important that you're open from the beginning, and it makes life easier actually because children are so accepting, and you just have to kind of, as they grow, you kind of filter more information in that's relevant for their age. But there's no light bulb moment for them where they suddenly have questions about where they came from. And for us, really important that they're part of a community where there are other people that came into the world the same way, or you know, even for my oldest, that they've got, that she knows other people who've had siblings through surrogacy. So that's really important to us. Having those connections for them in the future is important too. But they just think it's normal, which, you know, it is for us and so many other families.
It is one of those things, isn't it, that children are just immersed in it from day one, and they do see things a lot simpler than adults do.
Yeah, it's certainly the adults that you need to kind of educate more.
Hazel, you mentioned your involvement with Surrogacy UK, and I obviously know that openness around how children are born through surrogacy is promoted within the organisation. So what are your thoughts around the fact that, I guess, that almost the law is catching up with something that we've always advocated?
Personally, I think about time. And it's something that I personally have always promoted within my own family. We've always been very open and honest with Jade from a very young age, and used, whether it's written materials, or we were even lucky enough to film our film day coming into the world. So we had a birth video there, which we've shared, and she's got very confused about. But it's very, it's open and honesty is what we promote within the whole of our ethos within Surrogacy UK, from as soon as you join the organisation to the point of getting into it, being part of the community, being open about your story, being open with your child's story, whether you've got a sibling that you've already got, a child you've already given birth to, or you might have had family through other ways and means. You cannot escape that honesty and transparency that you will need with your family. And say, Jade, now she's now seven, but she'll read back the books we've read to her as a 2-3 year old on her own, and she understands her own story.
And obviously, Charlotte, for you, your son is only one, but compared to the other two ladies that have older children, how is that going in terms of being open about how he came to be?
Yeah, absolutely. We agreed honesty, openness from the get-go. We, at this stage, it just is about going, okay, this is Auntie Vicky. And, you know, he will learn that she is Auntie Vicky, and then the lady who gave birth to him. And then, you know, that will progress into a bigger understanding as he's got the capacity to understand that as he gets older. And we'll just reiterate, come back to it. It will just be part of his life. And I think it's something that I was very determined about, because my family, I have a stepsisters, I have half sister, and my half sister's much younger than us. And so we always wanted to be like, we are a family. I have a mum, they have a dad, you know, it was all very honest the whole time. And as she grew up, she came back to it and went, okay, so what does that bit mean? And she did it in her own time and her own pace. And yeah, and as they've both said, it just never was a big thing.
So you mentioned there about Auntie Vicky, your surrogate's known as Auntie Vicky. Is that the same for everybody else? Is kind of an aunt figure in the family? We mentioned on the podcast earlier in the week, there is, as Charlotte then said, there's no such thing as a quote unquote normal family circumstance. Everybody's family is unique in its own way. But in terms of the ongoing relationship with the surrogate, is that how they are perceived in your families as well?
I suppose for me, we've never had aunties. That's one thing that our surrogate doesn't appreciate. But we spoke about that early on, and we established it. But essentially, she's part of our extended family. She is another member, another sister. She's as close to me as my own family. And we're lucky enough to be similar to ages and things. So very much as our close friends and family are to us as an extension rather than an auntie as such. But that's just our surrogate's preferences around the terminology.
So what you've said there is there is an ongoing relationship with the surrogate.
Oh yeah, and it actually changes, I suppose, as the child grows as well, and your relationship with the surrogate. So where very early on, it's very much about, you know, meeting up together, obviously first step, first everything. Where now it's more about creating more memories, and memories and experiences together. Like as say Jade's birthday is coming up, rather than having things or tangible things, it's about having an experience together. So that is more valuable, and doing it as a family together.
And obviously you've now said similar sort of thing to Hazel, Charlotte, that Auntie Vicky, there's obviously clearly an ongoing relationship with your surrogate there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We try and meet up whenever we can. And yeah, she's going to be coming down for the birthday party and all that. So yeah, very close.
And is that the same with your situation, Kat?
Yeah, I've now sort of got to the point where I'm not comfortable referring to our surrogate as our surrogate. She's my friend. Same as Hazel said, she's a, you know, Janine, Ben and the kids, they're an extension of our family. We don't think of them as the surrogate or the as such anymore, although, you know, we're very much vocal about what they did for us for the kids' sake. It's just a very natural family friendship that we adore spending time with them. They're really, you know, they became more than what we ever imagined what we would get from this. You know, they're hugely important.
And was that a spoken agreement, or did this term surrogate just kind of phase out as time went on?
Yeah, I think it just phases out and we remember it on special occasions and things, but generally we're just getting together because we want to be with each other, and that's not something that we, you know, we always wanted to remain in touch. That was our, you know, we always couldn't imagine doing surrogacy and not having them in our lives, but it grew to far more than we ever anticipated it would be organically.
And in terms of that ongoing relationship, how do your children feel? So what does your child think about being born through surrogacy, Kat?
Well, she's only just starting, strangely, to, you know, funnily enough, she's just mentioning it to her friends at school. And, you know, I've just let her do that in her own time, the same as I think Charlotte said, just, you know, as and when they're ready. But she talks about it so far in the way that I've always wanted her to, which we kind of use the same language, which, you know, she's proud of it. And she will obviously potentially come across some prejudice or some people who have different thoughts about surrogacy as time goes by. But as long as she knows within herself that she was born from, you know, such incredible love, she was so wanted, such an amazing thing that people are willing to do for each other, and that there are really good people out there, then hopefully that will give her kind of the strength to manage those conversations. But so far, she got some incredible reactions from the little kids. And I think in this day and age, people are starting to realise that families are formed in all sorts of ways and are much more accepting of that than perhaps they might have been a couple of decades ago. So yeah, again, I think it's probably the adults that we need to worry about.
And what about for you, Hazel? Because obviously Jade is that bit older. What are her thoughts about being born through surrogacy?
She's, again, very proud of it. She has stood up in front of her class and show and tell and explained to the class where she came from and who she is. And she refers to it very naturally. It just rolls off the tongue. She'll say things very randomly. Well, I just grew up in someone else's tummy and that's what happened. It's very everyday normal language. I think she has come across some comments which are mostly from adults, probably their perception, and the children in her class may be interpreting them in a certain way. However, they're easily, we have close relationships. I can talk to the families, I can talk to the children, explain things, and actually it's all okay. It's just children talking naturally to each other. And Jade will come and talk to me about it, and she has come home and said this conversation has happened, but she didn't want to say anything to upset the other person. So I think she's very mindful of the impact of surrogacy, and it is something slightly different that not everybody will understand.
That leads us nicely into our next question, whether there have been challenges. You've sort of touched upon it there, that Jade's obviously had a little bit, but have there been challenges that you've come across with regards to being a parent through a child born of surrogacy?
The main ones are probably medical. I think medical challenges. And the complications around the parental order and things like that. It's quite a long process after your child is born to then be recognised as their legal parent. And that can be quite difficult. It can take quite a long time, and it doesn't need to. It's quite an emotive process. And you just want to have it, even though you are their mother, that parental order process can dissect things. And it's not particularly nice for anybody involved, but it's lovely once it's done. From a people's point of view, generally people have been quite acceptant of Jade and my background and my story of why we needed a surrogate. I think it's always good to have some stock answers and to pick and choose who you want to, you know, declare everything to. And it's quite good fun, I think, telling your story and seeing how people react. It's lovely to share.
And you do find that with a lot of things in life, don't you? If there are things that are kind of, and again, I'm going to use the term normal, but what other people's perception of the normal is, or the norm is, you do just develop these boilerplate answers. And it's good to have those in your arsenal so that, as you said, you can just draw them out when you need to, when you need to wade in and kind of, as Kat mentioned earlier, educate the adults more than everybody else. So how have you found that, Charlotte, in your first year? Have there been any challenges that you've come across with regards to your son?
Well, we've had something with the GP surgery where they took from some sort of central database that Vicky was his mum. So they were messaging her about GP appointments, you know, the jabs and things. But she sort of got this random text message in the middle of the day and then was trying to find out what it was about. And then she saw where the GP was and sort of messaged me and went, "Is this anything to do with you guys?" They've had a few things like that, which, you know, it's not the end of the world, but it's just something that, you know, you sort of don't think about happening. In terms of people's attitudes, we've been incredibly lucky. We've actually not really had any comments that sort of have affected us or anything like that. We've been incredibly lucky with it. And everyone's been really supportive and lovely throughout the whole thing. But I guess we're quite new to it, so.
It sounds like generally the general public's mindset around surrogacy tends to be one of acceptance. But as you've mentioned, and obviously Hazel touched upon with regards to the parental order, it just seems like the law needs to catch up. Is that what you've found as well, Kat, with kind of the delay that Hazel mentioned around the parental order and GP appointments or the first jabs in a child's life, that kind of thing, where they obviously, for some reason, they feel the need that they still refer to the surrogate as the legal mum, and therefore the surrogate has to have the say. We covered this on our earlier podcast in the week. The surrogate has the say about what medical care your child receives. It just seems a bit backward, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it makes you feel like you've done something wrong when you haven't. And it's probably the kind of the slightly more sour side of things, because, you know, everything else, you know, at a time when you should be experiencing joy and, you know, just cracking on and being a mum, you're made to feel sometimes that you aren't a parent, and that's not a nice feeling. But if the law does catch up with things, then I think that will benefit both sides, because I don't know any surrogate that wants that kind of input either. So, you know, they're quite happy to hand over all responsibility at the moment that child's born. So,
as you said, fingers crossed the law will catch up in the end and it will be plain sailing for all involved.
And my experience of adult attitudes, I know there are comments, and, you know, I've been involved in some social media where there have been negative comments, and my view is, well, I guess they're quite lucky that they've not, you know, they've not had to follow this path in that sense, because they clearly wouldn't want to. But overwhelmingly, I think what happens when you generally, your story is that you will almost always, in my experience, get somebody approach you that wants to know a bit more, because either they themselves or someone they know is having a struggle to have a family, whatever reason that might be. So it always blows my mind a little bit, actually, that the amount of people out there that are silently struggling and want to know more when you're quite open about it.
Yeah, it seems that infertility does kind of get perceived as a taboo subject still, doesn't it? Like you say, that's probably why a lot of people don't come forward and openly speak about it. And hopefully with the advancement in the law and around surrogacy and even other aspects of infertility and the treatment thereof, hopefully it will encourage people to, as you say, speak a bit more openly about what they're going through or what they're struggling with or what they and their partner have had to deal with in terms of just wanting to start a family. Well, this is the place. This is the podcast, if you like. Are there any myths about surrogacy that you would like to dispel? Just to kind of answer any of the unasked questions, Kat, we'll start with you if you like. You brought it up.
Yeah, I mean, the one that always gets me when I meet new people coming into the community, you know, will the surrogate keep the baby? I think that the you quickly forget that kind of concern as a new person when you realise that actually the way the law stands at the moment, the risk is all with the surrogate because the IPs could technically walk away and legal responsibility would remain with the surrogate and they'd be with a child that they didn't want.
And what about you, Charlotte? Have you are there any myths about surrogacy that you maybe felt in the early stages but have had dispelled that you'd like to get it out of the way quickly for anybody else?
What Kat said is the big one that has come up with us. But people have been very good at listening and, you know, when I explain how it actually works, because they don't know. I guess the biggest misconception is that there's a sort of matching process, which we don't do. And so they don't know that there's a sort of long process attached of getting to know each other and becoming really good friends, and that there's so much trust, I think, is maybe the misconception, that there is so much trust between the IPs and the surrogate long before you get to any clinic things. And that's really the foundation. I think that's probably the bit that is missing in people's preconceptions about it.
So what you've both said so far, as you say, Charlotte, it tends to be based around trust, doesn't it? People tend to see surrogacy still as kind of this flimsy entity that isn't regulated in any way. Hazel, I feel I may be opening the floodgates here since you're so heavily involved in the surrogacy community, but is there any myths about surrogacy you'd like to dispel?
I think there's two which I've thought about. I think the two which... I think, yeah, generally the myths, Kat and Charlotte have covered a lot of the personal emotional myths that I've come across. I think the big wings as well is expenses, and it's non-transactional. It's what is reasonable expenses. Expenses are not paying for a baby. They're therefore enable what you would do in your own pregnancy to happen in somebody else's body. And it is whatever is reasonable for that person. And that is completely based on trust and based on an understanding. And it is not a fixed price for a transactional for a baby. And I think that is one of the big myths that is part of our ethos, is that it is, you know, Surrogacy UK have a friendship first community base. You trust each other impeccably. You trust that you're going to look after the baby. The expenses are transparent and they're understood. And that a baby is not the end product, it's a friendship, and the friendship and the community and that onward family that you'll have. It's not a transactional relationship, it's a friendship based on trust.
Is there anything else you'd like people to know about surrogacy that not necessarily that dispels myths? I mean, obviously you've covered a great myriad there, so... Am I right in saying that what you've said there about it being non-transactional and it not being a matchmaking service, I think those are often misconceptions. That's the almost like the American commercialized side of surrogacy, isn't it? And not the way that it's done in the UK.
No, exactly that.
Which I think is probably one of the most important things that people should know about surrogacy in the UK. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else?
I think it's been a huge privilege, really. You know, there are so many circumstances that intended parents come into surrogacy. Many of them are quite hard and difficult, and sometimes people aren't ready for that commitment to build a surrogacy relationship. But, you know, looking back with a six-year-old child at our time, I'm so glad that we joined Surrogacy UK community, because not only did we achieve our dream of completing our family, but the connections we've made, the friendships we've made with surrogates and IPs across the board are hugely important to our lives still. And it's actually one of the only places that I think you see the goodness in people these days. You know, there's a lot going on out in the world, and to be a part of this community is a privilege in my view. I don't regret it at all.
I think touching on that, Kat, you mentioned about being a safe space. We create a safe space for people to come together from similar backgrounds, where you may not have met someone having the thoughts and feelings that you have coming into surrogacy before, and putting like-minded people together. And you touched on, you know, influencing the one person that might not be and might not know where they are, where they're coming into a safe space, a safe community of individuals that can help educate and ensure that they're looked after on the next step.
Charlotte, is there anything you'd like to add to that? Anything you think people should know about surrogacy that we maybe haven't touched upon already?
I would say maybe for people who are having fertility problems and they're not sure where to turn, it's nowhere near as rare as it feels before you start learning about it. So coming in, learning about everyone's journeys, how they many, many different ways people come to surrogacy and reasons they come to surrogacy. It's so varied, and there's no reason to feel alone in that. And just talking to people, you know, as I, you know, take my son to a shop or something, you know, they'll say, how was your pregnancy? And then I'll sort of go, oh, actually. And then suddenly we're in this conversation and they're sharing their stories about how they had a family. And then I learn even more differences. And yeah, it just this sense of everybody has their own story. So you don't need to feel alone in this. It's a really close community, and it's a big and varied one, and it's lovely to be part of.
I think that's great. That's a really important takeaway from this, is as you've just said there, Charlotte, and Kat has said as well, that it does within the surrogacy community, it does promote this openness that wouldn't necessarily be there. Like you say, it takes one person to start the conversation to almost give somebody else the courage to then share what they're going through as well. And again, one of the takeaways from this podcast, I feel, should be that the surrogacy journey is not a quick fix. Developing a relationship and building a relationship and building trust with your surrogate is a marathon and not a sprint. And as Hazel rightly said earlier, it's almost that the friendship is the outcome. The family that you create and the baby is almost the byproduct of that lovely outcome. Well, thanks everyone for your time. Thank you to everyone listening to this podcast. And thanks to Charlotte, Kat, and to Hazel for taking part. We hope you found it informative. We hope you found it useful. And keep an eye out for the other blog posts, videos, and podcasts as part of Surrogacy Week. Thank you very much.